live from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Jared's here, 5 o'clock hour. Willie is the company. Griffin out for the week. Well-deserved vacation. I think it's his mom's 50th birthday. I think I saw him on social media saying his mom was his favorite person. And like for a second, I was like, bro, Cofield and Company? Have we not established? What? Too much? Okay. Reminder, everyone, this show will be heavily involved in one of the great contests in town, and that is Circa Million. You can get in Circa Million or Circa Survivor. What's rare about these two big contests that have $16 million up for grabs? No rake. So Derek Stevens put this together. It's all for you, Las Vegas. But you got to get down there and sign up. You got to do it soon. Deadline is September 7th. Circa Million is 5 picks against the spread every single week. And then they've got quarterly prizes, all different prizes throughout. Massive prize at the end. Circa Survivor is straight up. No point spread. But you can pick one winner every week. Oh, it's easy. It ain't easy. And then down the stretch, they make it a little more challenging because you got these mini capsules around Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's a great challenge. Some of the best people, handicappers in the world, get in Circa Survivor and Circa Million. Get down to Circa or any Circa property to sign up and take your chance at the 16 mil, courtesy of Derek Stevens and Circa Las Vegas. We were talking about rising prices in the fast food world to close out last hour. I went to a concert this weekend, and I was actually surprised by the prices. $10 draft beers. Now, think about what I'm saying here. This town has so conditioned me. I think we had dinner, and it was like $80 with a tip. I was like, what? That is great. And then $10 drafts, Willie. $10 drafts. So doing it right. Doing it right. And it was a good show, too. It was a good show. Very
good show.
How many
drafts did you have?
It was such a good show, and we were in the middle of an aisle. I didn't want to get up, and there were a bunch of old people there who didn't want to get up, so I didn't want to break their toes, although I wanted a little elbow to the face. Stand up. Everyone can stand up, okay? Now, the people at the end of the aisle could be like, no, I'm not standing up. I went out of my way to get these seats. Go the other way.
I always try to get the aisle.
We couldn't get it. What am I going to do?
Don't go.
No, I'm going. And it really was. It was actually an older crowd than me. Hard to believe. I think I hurt my arm there. That elbow. I didn't land that right. Actually hurt myself.
So you can't be the ornery one. It wasn't worth the joke. You hurt yourself.
I'm kidding. Yeah, it wasn't worth the joke. I'm kidding. I wouldn't. Of course, I'm not going to elbow someone in the face because they won't get up. But so there was a lady actually who came by, and she had the same approach. She like just jammed right on my toe. I was like, okay. And I didn't stand up, so I just...
There are plenty of times you want to elbow people in the face.
I mean, I say it, but I'm very polite. I'm very docile in public. What are you talking about?
Do I need to go back to the Mountain West tournament when you walk? You gave me the look.
I gave you a look. That wasn't physical.
No, but you
now,
wanted
did,
to.
Did I
you,
want to?
Yeah.
Yes. That was a Mountain West conference tournament. What we're looking at like 10 years ago. Can we get past this, please?
Yeah, but it's good.
It was a seating policy issue. I didn't know you from Adam, not that Adam or any Adam, and I was like. This punk.
By the way, I found
nobody has a seat, and I don't have an assigned seat.
By the way,
you
I
you bring it up every show.
By the way, I found the statistics that we were talking about earlier. Okay. Just in case you want.
Can we do that as an advanced tease?
Yes.
Okay. So speaking about prices, it's rare that you go to a place and you're like, "Wow, that's not bad," but it's all relative. We have been conditioned to paying a lot at our games. The Commanders, and I don't know the source of this because there's an aggregator who just steals everyone's stuff and doesn't give credit, which I find that annoying. You don't go to all these games. Other people are spending the time to take pictures. But Commanders beer prices for games.
Oh, my God.
What's oh, my God? This is about normal. This is actually cheaper than Vegas. Spiked seltzer. $18.50, large premium beer $17.50, regular craft $17, large domestic $16.50, premium canned cocktail $15.50, bottle of water only $6. I think I paid $7 over the weekend. These are actually cheaper than I think both of our venues here, the Fortress and the L. I'm not saying I'm like it's good.
Like, hey, Washington, you're $2 cheaper, but we've all just been just trained to accept this. You look at me because do you go to games very often? I never ask you
not
this.
As a fan.
Yeah.
Not as a fan.
And I don't think you'd be a drinker at a game anyway.
No. This is why when I had season tickets to the Golden Knights, I was part of a group. We used them for business purposes, but also gifts or if Jordan wanted to take a client, whatever. That's why if you bought my season tickets, which, by the way, I never upcharge. I always just made people, if they bought them from me, they paid what I paid. I would bring stuff down from the press box.
Nice.
Waters, candy, popcorn.
All right. This is hard to see, Jared, on the depth. We need to send this picture out. In this case, it was, I don't know how to say this woman's last name. Is it Javala? She used to work in Denver. She's now covering the... Maybe she still does work in Denver. I don't know. She had a picture of the Commanders have introduced new nachos. And it appears to be, is that actually in like a box that resembles the stadium? Is that where the Capitals play? I don't even know what that is. What is that?
The Commanders.
No, I'm saying it's because it doesn't look like a football stadium. It looks like an arena.
Yeah, it does.
This is $30, $29.49. Doing pictures for radio, not always the most effective thing, but... We'll send out the picture. Anybody? Has anyone clicked on this link? Because I have.
I clicked on it. I'm looking up the. I'm trying to figure out what the stadium looks like.
Yeah, that's what I was trying.
We're getting thrown off by the box.
The box is very strange.
So here's the thing. It's a box, which resembles a building, and then if you look, I'm assuming there's a lining a liner box, like another box. If you look
like,
to
do
the,
you think it goes all the way to the bottom? Because that's my issue. Well, here. If there's
look
a
to
liner
the right
that's
of
only
it.
Like an inch below. The top, then I don't think we're getting a lot of nachos.
Look to the right of it.
Hold it up to
what
the
is that other thing that looks like a football field or something? Or look to the right of it on the table.
I don't know what that
what
is.
What is in there? Is that another one of them where they pulled it out? So actually, those nachos are in something that's in the box. You may not be getting that full box. It's like getting a bag of potato chips, but really it's only a quarter of it. A lot of air.
Yep.
Could be a lot of air underneath there.
I think the thing on the right is a hot dog.
Oh, okay.
I'm basing that on a very sliver of bun.
So there's a $30 nacho and probably a $75 hot dog.
We got to get more pictures. This lady's got to send out better pictures. Can you? I have her number. Last time I tried to book her, she didn't answer. But if you tweet her, she might be really interested in the pictures. Wouldn't she be fired? We'll do it during the break. Wouldn't she be fired up to go, hey, we're talking about your picture? And the problem with these nachos, one, they're $29.49. Do you see meat? You see any meat on there? And it looks very dry. I see a lot of jalapenos on top, which I'm very pro. Do we see meat? Is that squid? Is there some exotic meat in there?
No, there's meat.
What's that black stuff on the side?
That's,
we have to do more investigation.
Let me tell you what that black, that's brown. What that is that they must have put it under something. That looks like the cheese, and it just got dark. It got under the heat lamp or something. But I'm assuming that that's meat. Sort of just to the right, above the right leg of the W, look straight up. I think that's meat.
Do you ever notice? I know I'm just going to bring something up because I'm texting someone right now. There are times when Willie will be with a guest. Like I was every once in a while, and it's not just with you because I do it too. Like you assume a guest knows something about a story. When you brought up Rickea Jackson around like 3:53. Yeah. To Steve Kim, I'm like, I think he's going to answer you. I don't know who that is.
She's a rookie for the L.A. Sparks.
Well, I know who she is, but yeah. I didn't think he would.
Oh, I did.
Really?
I 100% thought that he knew it. Yeah, yeah. It's L.A., but also he follows WNBA, he knows, and she has come on strong, and she's been the name for that team since Cameron Brink went down. I knew he knew who she was.
I'm going to get in the habit of this, just like sending off a text in show to see what the reaction is, but I don't have time, right? So I'm sending Chris Russell, who's on the team, 980 in D.C., these new Commanders nachos. What's the deal? That's it. So let's see how he answers. He's a bigger guy, so I assume he must have been at a food press conference.
I have duck-duck-goed Commanders Stadium nachos, and that a picture with that box is nowhere in sight.
Well, they're called Raise Hell Loaded Stadium Nachos.
Raise.
This is going to take over the show. Once the investigation starts with Willie, he just goes right in. He's in.
So
it's intriguing, but I would have to. Okay, let's break this down.
I tried to DM her, but we are not allowed to, so I'll have to do that later.
How good do nachos have to be $29?
Pretty damn good.
Right? Don't they have to have...
Wagyu? I'm not even,
like, we were worried about the size, but I'm not even worried about the size. Like, what has to be on nachos?
First of all, for $30, you have to eliminate ground beef, and it has to be chopped up really fine, like almost like a street taco, but it's got to be beef.
You want carne asada? Basically.
Doesn't have to be carne, but okay, it's got to be beef.
Some kind of steak.
Yes. Yeah. I think you got to have steak.
Should there be shrimp in the nachos?
I'm not doing shrimp nacho, no.
What else?
I don't want no fish on my nachos.
We're actually building the menu right now. 702-364-1100. What needs to be in a $30 box of nachos at a game?
And it's got to be big. There's got to be a lot. It's got to feed four.
When you text in 702-364-1100, tag it with ESPN. Willie says it has to feed four. It has to have some sort of beef, not ground beef. I don't even think the chips look good. Can we make the chips? Can we make the chips? They're little round chips.
You think they're going to make homemade chips?
Yes, for 30. Yes.
At a stadium?
At least get chips that look like you made them. Yeah. Make them somewhere. Bring them in. These look like little round ones from the store.
They look like the ones you get in the clear plastic bag at Syntax. Like, yes. It's just literally a box with the things and the cheese comes out.
Had them brought in from Winco.
Dan Snyder's legacy lives on. $30 nachos.
They do look like bag chips.
Yep.
They don't even look like what you would get like at Macayo's or something.
What a nightmare. Should I expect good food on this trip to Houston, going with UNLV football? Yeah. I have high expectations. I've had good food in H-Town. I've told people often that we need to go get Vietnamese or Viet Cajun, and everyone looks at me like I've got three heads. Steak should be on the top of the menu. I never remember the first part of this deli's name, but it's something in Ziggy's. There actually was a full documentary, and you know how much I love cutting the meat and deli meat and the slicers. Mm. So I'm going there. I have pretty high expectations for H-Town.
I would. Okay. Absolutely.
I would.
How many days? You're flying in?
It's only like a day and a half. So you get there, you get a dinner after Cofield and Company. Just got to make sure they don't roll up the sidewalks. And
you know
then,
what?
And then there's probably like a midday, some kind of nosh at the deli.
I'm not giving you a suggestion because I went overboard to get you.
You wanted
authentic Mexican food when you went for San Diego for something, and I had a buddy who's now the mayor in Holtville outside of El Centro, and he sent me three options because you made a big deal about it, and you didn't go to any of them. So
I'm going again.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Screw you. Find your own place in Houston.
It's a democratic process. I don't get to.
Why you gotta be political?
I don't get to pick every place.
Oh, you got to go with everybody.
Well, I'm gonna drop the hammer a little more this year.
Drop the hammer.
Well, I set up a barbecue showdown weeks ago, and I have connections in both towns. As people who watch the Broadcaster Bites podcast that we do. You have to do the research. We say that a lot. You don't want to blow the research when we're on a road trip, so we'll figure something out.
What about the men's club? They have a good kitchen, don't they?
I don't know. Is that even open? Do you know?
Isn't that like the number one gentleman's place?
I don't know. I haven't done the research on that. That's another thing.
I've never been there, and I know it's the number one. It's top five in the nation. I remember when the girls from Vegas, there were two trips they would make annually. One was to the Pro Bowl in Honolulu, and they'd make annual trips to Houston for whatever took place down there. There was something big. I can't remember what, but that they'd all go down there. And they'd spend a week or a weekend. It was like something big. But that's a big spot. Maybe they have a kitchen.
I'm seeing at 6440 Southwest Freeway, Chica's Locus. That looks good. Possibly. Again, I don't get to decide where we go.
This year, you're putting the hammer down.
I can make suggestions. I'm not the driver.
Wait a minute.
Caleb is the driver. Caleb Herring drives.
Oh.
His say could be final. But he does get a rash of hell. When we pick a spot that he picked and it doesn't turn out, he's got answers.
And he's traveled to a lot of places, too, as an athlete. Yes. So he should have some say. But if no, you know who should have some say-so, and he's going. Because he's traveled extensively.
I don't want to hear this. They don't do the research.
Adam doesn't. Adam. Okay. Adam knows.
I thought you were talking about PR over there. We got into a big
No.
When I accused him of not doing the research.
No, you can't trust
people. We were frozen out for like 2 weeks.
No. But Adam's knowledgeable. He knows the good spots.
He hates Houston.
Does he?
He's the worst person to talk to.
Doesn't mean, but you can hate a city, but at least you know.
He badmouths it all the time. He thinks it's the worst.
The city?
Yep.
Okay, but you at least know where to go find good food.
Possibly.
Okay, come on.
Possibly.
I don't like cities either. So I went on that road trip recently and didn't like specific spots, mm-hmm. but I had to find the good eateries. Adam may know.
You know, boy, we're jammed up today. I was talking to someone over the weekend, and they were mentioning the program that they worked with was a disaster.
Ooh.
Travel-wise. Like, it's not organized. And when you think about it, like, you never process, hey, if the travel is an issue, you don't get there on time. The stadium crew doesn't set up the locker room, the communication's the right way. The certain nutrition plan isn't executed on a Friday night before a college football game and a Saturday morning.
Big.
You know, hey, we just got here. Oh, no hotel rooms ready. Like, whose job was that? Right? Uh-huh. UNLV is really smooth. I've been through, six coaches total? Mm-hmm. And different travel people, organizers. They're good. Barry Odom got into this today and was talking about just the routine. I hadn't thought about the routine. I have a routine every day. And believe me, Griffin can tell you, I hate Tuesdays. I don't want to get into it, but I hate Tuesdays because I don't, this is being a baby, but I don't feel comfortable all the time. So Odom got into, hey, this is the way it's got to be, and it affects you potentially on game day.
I think there's so much more change in rosters now. I mean, you know, we had, and I'm sure I'm going to be off a couple of numbers here, but we had 55 new players last year. This year we're over 50 again. So, you know, that's a completely different team. So
we're going to get to the travel cut in a second. I got screwy, right? This is actually a good cut, too. He talks about the era of the transfer portal. This was Mr. Scoop. Chris Matthews had the question. And he posed the question, I was like, that's a good way to – he just said, with the transfer portal and so many new guys, basically going into week one, is it just a crapshoot?
I think there's so much more change in rosters now. I mean, you know, we had – and I'm sure I'm going to be off a couple of numbers here, but we had 55 new players last year. This year we're over 50 again. So, you know, that's a completely different team. So for me and our staff, when you're standing and you're talking about, well, we're going – you know, on the road, this is what our, you know, away routine looks like. You've got to teach it like it's the first time you've ever taught it, because it is for over half the room.
That was the part of it, too. Yeah. So you just said 50 new players. The travel is important. Now you got to teach all these guys how the travel works. And I guarantee there's people in the audience right now who are like, why does it matter? It matters. You're moving. We had Josh Pacheco on last week, and he said 100-plus people were coming from Delaware State out to Hawaii. UNLV travels, I think it's like 170 to 195. So this is like a caravan of people. It's this machine that's got to work, make sure the players don't have to worry about any of that stuff. So beginning of the season, everyone who's got this big turnover, there's a lot of new things to learn going into game one.
Collectively, you're right, as far as the number of people involved. Right? Equipment managers, uniforms, PR, but I will say this about football these days. First of all, if they're in the transfer portal and they're in, that means that they were in a different program, so they're used to it. It's just a matter of adjusting to how UNLV does it. But the travel football we've seen on the rise off-season, where before, a long time ago, off-season, it was AAU basketball, Legion baseball, right, club baseball. There really wasn't a lot. Now, what we're seeing with 7-on-7 and flag football, they're doing a lot of traveling. Doesn't mean that it's 50 people, part of a 100-plus organization, but the preparing for travel to go get ready mentally, physically, nutrition-wise, I think the kids are a little more advanced these days than they were in the past.
More on college football coming up in about 20 minutes. Up next, we're going to talk about the quarterback situation around the league, situations, and a ranking that Mike Sando, NFL insider for The Athletic, wrote about, and much more to get to around quarterback battles in the National Football League.
It's Cofield and Company. on ESPN Las Vegas.
Willie's here. It's Cofield. 364-1100. 702-364-1100. Finley Kia text line. Edward on those Commanders 29-50 nachos on game days said bag of weed on top. I mean, that's going to make it taste good. You're not going to notice any shortcomings.
Wow.
Eli said should have some sliced ribeye on there, which you suggested. Yeah. Some kind of beef, but not ground beef. $30 for nachos at the games. The NFL's doing okay. Mike Sandoz covered the NFL for a long time. He works for The Athletic. He's up with Willie and Cofield. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How good do nachos have to be to justify $30?
Well, it depends what mode you're in. If you're in a place, you ever get in like a vacation mode, or sometimes it's a Vegas mode for other people, like you'll pay like ridiculous amounts for something you would never do at home in your normal routine. You know, I've done some ridiculous things like that, but $30. Like at a ball game, sometimes you're just like, you know, screw it. This is going to be an expensive weekend, an expensive day. Like, give me the nachos, right?
What we may need you to do, Mike, is visit all 32 stadiums, and get us a tiers of nachos. Tier 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because...
Hey, you know, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, the Falcons are supposedly charging like 1980 prices for their food. That's where I'm going to go first if I do this.
Nice. All right, well...
Yeah, they're charging super cheap.
Well, we know that what came out today, and everybody waits for it and anticipates it, and the NFL quarterback tiers 2024 is out. Only two join Pat Mahomes. How did this year's list come to be?
So the minute the draft is over, usually I start putting together the list of who are the veteran quarterbacks that are going to be in this survey for the year, because then we know who's going to play a rookie, who the backups could be. So I start out with a bigger number than actually gets published, 35, 37 guys, and I start calling or visiting, coaches and executives around the league, and it takes me usually a couple of months to get all 50 of them done, have conversations with people, and then the results come together. And this year, a little bit of a surprise probably is just that only three quarterbacks made it into tier one. That's the lowest number in, I think, 8 years. Tier one being, hey, this quarterback carries their team each week. The team wins because of him, has no real holes in his game, and it's kind of a key qualifier here, expertly handles pure pass situations. And that means when the team has to pass, when the defense isn't worried about the run game, are we in good hands with this quarterback, or is the defense feeling great because they know this is when they get a really feast and take advantage of this guy who can't handle that situation? So that is why there's a line after Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen, because the league feels that those three are better equipped than the others to not just be good quarterbacks who can carry their team week to week, but can handle that pure pass component and not melt down when the lights are brightest and it's most difficult to play the position.
11 go into tier two. Two of them dropped, Justin Herbert and Aaron Rodgers. What were the main things that dropped them out of tier one?
Yeah. So Rodgers, I think it's just uncertainty around where he's at his age, coming off of an injury with a new team, and can he hold up for a whole year? There was, good debate on that, and I think one of the best comments made in the quarterback tiers this year was from somebody who placed Aaron Rodgers in tier one and said, wait a minute, those guys who did not put Rodgers in tier one, are they from the 29 teams that would be better if he suddenly became their quarterback today? And so there's a good debate around him. What should you do with Rodgers? And then Herbert, I think doesn't have the established record of success that certainly Aaron Rodgers has. And then he hasn't had much team success lately either. I think after a while that takes a toll a little bit and hurt him, even though you could say clearly that his defense was the main problem. I think some voters probably feel like he should overcome that a little better than he has, including in a playoff game they were way ahead in and last season.
Once again, speaking with Mike Sando from The Athletic, his quarterback tiers column came out today, the annual that everyone waits for is NFL quarterback tiers 2024. Looking down to tier three, Tua's in there, Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, former Raider quarterback Derek Carr, Geno Smith, and at 22nd is Russell Wilson. Do the Steelers have some things to be concerned with?
Yes. I mean, they have a great program there with a great culture coach, obviously, and they seems like they just are going to have a winning record almost no matter what. But, you know, what really made Russell Wilson special was the fact that he was a dynamic athlete. He was really quick, and he could get away from bad situations and make not just turn a negative play into a zero, he turned negative plays into home runs. That really made him special. He's always been a quarterback who probably took too many sacks, had too many negative plays, but you could live with it for a long time because he made spectacular plays. I think now, in his current age, we're seeing somebody who still takes some of the sacks and doesn't really have that upside of the miraculous plays. He still can throw some nice passes, but that's why he's just kind of a borderline starter right now. That's why, you know, Mike Tomlin wasn't even going to commit to a starter publicly until the last minute, because that's where Russell Wilson's at. He's right on the fringe of being somebody's starter for a whole season at this stage of his career.
We're going to get to Las Vegas' starting quarterback Gardner Minshew in just a minute. You mentioned at the start that, you know, right after the draft, you sort of go through your list and you're looking at starters and where they're at and starting to make your trips and phone calls. The Steelers, you have both of the competitors, right? Russell Wilson and Justin Fields in the list. Now, I'm about to give you a name, and I'm not saying that he belongs in there, but what I'd like to know is if he was in consideration and where he may fall, how far down in, because his name has been in the headlines last couple of weeks, maybe possibly traded, is Las Vegas's Dorian Thompson-Robinson with the Browns.
You know, you threw me. I thought you were going to ask about Aiden O'Connell because Aiden was in it. I thought this whole time you were building it up and I was going to be able to say, yes, Aiden O'Connell was in this too because we didn't know for sure who was going to start. But DTR was not in the quarterback tiers this year. I was not looking at him as a potential starter because obviously there's a starter on his team. So he would clearly be getting he'd be down at the very bottom because the highest anybody could get him would be a four, which is either, hey, the guy's played a long time and I don't think he's really a full season starter, or not enough information. We haven't seen him play.
Right.
So he would get a lot of fours, and then he would also get some fives, which is he's not a starter at all, because I'm sure there's some people in their evals, maybe a good number, would say we don't really have him as a starting quarterback in the league. So it might be a little unfair to him. You'd be saying, oh, a five, what's this guy terrible? No, he's not terrible, but he's just, if you're gonna evaluate him as a starter, right, he'd be at the bottom of any list of starters.
Right, unproven so far. I do find it interesting that, and I'm on the side of, if you know what, if he's in the talks and they are looking to better deal him, then do him a favor and go ahead and move him, because I do think that he's proven enough in the time that he bailed them out when they needed him that he could be a QB2 ready to move into a situation where there's some uncertainty with the quarterback situation rather than being a QB3 with Cleveland. Do you think that he could find a viable spot?
Well, he's got three starts, so I don't think that's enough. You know, three starts completing 53% of your passes, I don't think that, you know, that's going to, put it this way, if you liked him coming out, you still like him. If you are super skeptical of him, those three starts completing 54%, you know, isn't with one touchdown and four interceptions. No one's going, oh my gosh, I was totally wrong. This is the guy,
right?
He's going to really be. So I just don't think there's enough information for that to happen unless somebody already liked him. And then in that case, you know, who knows? He was a fifth round pick, so it's possible that somebody liked him.
Once again, Mike Sando joining Cofield & Company, ESPN Las Vegas. NFL quarterback tiers 2024 column is out, coming in at 24th, I believe. Las Vegas Raiders starring quarterback Gardner Minshew. Tier 4 is labeled as a quarterback, could be an unproven player, not enough information for voters to classify, or a veteran who ideally would not start all 17 games. I would imagine Minshew falls in that latter category.
He does. Now, he climbed, I think he jumped six spots, so he's number 25 in this, maybe. Yep. Maybe actually a little bit higher than that because a couple guys around. No, I think he was 25. So, you know, I think what he showed last season helped his standing relative to what people thought of him before, but he still has not started for a full season. Has a playing style that sometimes can invite, you know, getting knocked around a little bit, and then doesn't have that high-end upside that some of the guys that you might see in Tier 2 or Tier 1 have, just physically in the way he plays the position. But certainly, at the worst, would be an ideal backup, right? Somebody the team's going to rally around. But do you really want to sign up for that for 17 games? I'd say most teams probably wouldn't.
Mike, real quick, we got 1 minute. Of your, let's say, Tier 3 and Tier 4 quarterbacks, who are the ones that you to keep an eye on? Are there a couple of sleepers that could possibly move up when you look ahead to 2025, or guys that you think didn't yes. expect them to fall there, but they could still be, you know, play like a Tier 2 or a Tier 1?
Yeah, so I think Trevor Lawrence has been pretty volatile. He was looking like he was on the upswing, and then he fell after last year, but he was hurt. So it's a real big year for him. He obviously has some talent. It wouldn't be surprising at all if he took a tier jump upward. I think Kyler Murray has been forgotten a little bit just because he's been hurt and it's Arizona. But if he's healthy, I don't think he's going to be a consistent week in, week out push for Tier 1. But certainly they've won with him before, and he can make exciting plays, and he's kind of been lost in the shuffle. So those would be two guys, I think, in Tier 3. I think the others, we sort of know what they are. In Tier 4, the big wild card is Anthony Richardson, just mm-hmm. because I believe that Shane Steichen, the coach of the Colts, can really design an offense. I think the Eagles have not been the same since he left. Jalen Hurts wasn't as good. We just don't know if Anthony Richardson can have the sort of feel for the position and the accuracy of his passing and know how to not take the huge hits to last. But he's certainly a special athlete with a coach who knows how to scheme it up, I believe. And we've seen that in the past work well. Not for a long time, but like RG3 had a nice little start till he got hurt with Washington. What can this guy do with this offensive play caller and designer is a real boom-bust potential there.
Mike Sando from The Athletic. Mike, we appreciate you joining us today. Follow him at Sando NFL for all of his NFL stuff this season. We appreciate it, Mike. Thanks.
Thank you.
There he is, Mike Sando. Did you have a problem with Stiddy coming out and speaking pretty aggressively after Bo Nix gets the job?
No, because any backup quarterback that's happy with it is going to say that, you know, that if you're happy that you didn't get and you expected it. Now, let's jump to Vegas with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. I don't necessarily know if you could say the exact, like if he came at vehemently, especially with how buddy-buddy they were all the way through OTAs and training camp, and it was like hit or miss, and he was the sportsmanship, but I bet you he carries the same disappointment that Stidham did.
Do you have Jared Stidham? Well, let's hear this because he didn't do anything wrong. It's kind of surprising in a two or three way battle for quarterback to see one of the quarterbacks come out and speak honestly.
First of all, obviously I was very disappointed. You know, I know I'm a starting quarterback in this league. I have zero doubts about that. You know, it just didn't shake out my way. I know what kind of player I am, kind of person I am. And like I said earlier, I'll be ready to go if I need to be. And
I don't think he'll be needed. I think they will need a backup. I think they're probably going to just keep Zach Wilson, who I thought would be on the street. But after that, again, I don't have a problem with it. But I believe that was a call basically to, hey, move me somewhere else. Now, I have no idea where he'd be a backup. There are some pretty bad backup situations around the league.
Well, I brought up DTR to Mike Sando, and there have been some, if you Google the name and say, or, you know, if you search on whatever search engine you use, Dorian Thompson-Robinson and trade, there are different lists out there that he could land where they would maybe expect to step right up. One of them being the Giants. That was a very popular place. They move
him? Can I jump in? Who's going to trade for a third stringer?
I don't know. I'm just telling you that that's what's out there. Okay. What I'm telling you is that And he wasn't a third stringer last year.
I guess that should be nicer. Third stringer, developmental guy.
Yeah, well, so where they would move Stidham, I don't know. I guess it would be a matter of what they could get in return. I don't have a problem with anything that he really said, because I think, you know, did Justin Fields, if he came out and said, I think I'm a starter in this league, I'm disappointed, but hey, I'll be ready when my number's called. Is that bad? Is that bad if Aiden O'Connell said that? You know what I mean? Hey, I feel like I'm a starter in this league. I was called upon last year. I took over the offense. I did my job. But you know what? It is what it is, and my number's called. I'll be ready. I really don't have a problem with it. If he's sending a message, then I think that he's a veteran enough. He's, you know, especially coming from where he's came from and during his career, that he'll go in, sit down with Sean Payton, and say, hey, if this is the case, keep Zach, move me if you can.
I'll say Stiddy. Even though it's a division, Stiddy on the Chargers would be the two. It's Easton Stick and our own Louis Perez, who is a great bowler, if you remember that. A lot of bowling conversation every time he came on. Other situations? I mean, a lot of these places, would I take Jarrett Stidham over Kenny Pickett? Philly? Maybe. I don't think he's better than Drew Locke. He's the backup.
Didn't I win a bet against you, Daniel Jones? Pickett? I think I won a bet with you.
Are you sure?
With Kenny Pickett?
How'd you win it? I was so negative on him. Did he like barely get past the threshold?
I think it was something about how many games he would appear in.
Okay.
It might. You know what? It might not have been you.
Maybe. No, it was. We warred over Kenny Pickett.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's interesting with the backup quarterbacks, if they're not happy where they are, like, you're not guaranteed a landing spot. If they like you, you know, and you may want to get frustrated, but if they like you, and there's no guarantee that there's someone else amongst the 31 that's going to like you a lot.
Well, and it's a matter of that, you know, you get that out of your system, you hold your press conference after the starter's named, you say what you got to say, and then do you leave it there at the podium or the lectern or whatever you're speaking at? Do you leave it there, and then, or do you bring negativity and are you sour in the quarterback's room? Because if you are, then you got to go. But if you're like, hey, I was telling the truth, but let's go, I'm ready.
Yeah, I would say the Rams could be a spot because the status of Garoppolo, he's suspended early, and then Stetson Bennett is questionable, and not that he deserves to get cut, but he was pretty terrible a couple games back in the preseason. Yeah, most places are okay with a backup. I know everyone likes to say, backups are terrible. They're solid in almost every spot. Maybe Minnesota. So, and here's my weird thing on this one. If Bo Nix doesn't work out and he's horrible, do you even want someone who's capable behind him? Just keep playing him, and you don't want to destroy him, but if he sucks and you have to pull him, then you're like, okay, well, Zach Wilson is the sacrificial lamb, so hopefully we lose the rest of the way and he stinks like he did with the Jets. We have three wins, and then we can draft a quarterback again.
I don't remember going back, Steve, but when they were going through it here in Vegas and he was here and you established the Stiddy moniker, were you calling for him to get some action?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that was not me. There were Stidham lovers.
Yeah.
Well, that was the whole thing with Derek Carr, where Derek Carr quit on the team. It's like, I'm not going to come in.
Right.
And then they're like, then you had a bunch of people like, oh, I can't believe the Raiders are going to do him dirty like this. He asked him.
Right.
He was told he wasn't going to be the one, then he left the team.
That's right. He didn't want to.
Like, I can't believe they're not going to let him stay around. They didn't. They never said that to him.
Yeah, that was him.
Give me a freaking break.
Okay.
Update on the 29-49 nachos in Commanderland. We did look up what Mike Sando was talking about with the cheap Atlanta Falcons menu. You're not going to believe the value that Atlanta offers. But that doesn't mean that when you look at this food, you're like, that's even worth $3.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Willie across the way, it's Cofield, Grab Bag time. So to follow up on the food discussion we had at the beginning of the hour, Washington Commanders doing a big unveiling, and a lot of stadiums like to do this, like, hey, our new menu. And then inevitably, it's pretty pricey. Is it worth it? Sometimes. Others, no. We looked at the picture of the nachos from Washington. We tweeted a picture out at ESPN Las Vegas. Our vast digital crew also put up a picture of the Atlanta Falcons and their concession offerings. Now, keep in mind, the picture on the left is $29.49. It is a big, we think, box of nachos, unless it's empty space underneath the box. It looks somewhat appetizing. The chips don't look like they're made there or very authentically. The picture on the right on ESPN Las Vegas, Willie, that is the collection of food at the Atlanta Falcons games, and they've made an effort since, whatever, 2021 to keep their food down. There is a bag of popcorn, a soda, a hot dog, pretzel, nachos with nacho cheese, chicken fingers and fries, and a slice of pizza. That all cost $20 total. Does that change your mind about, you said Little League looking food?
Little League concession stand food.
You think?
Yeah.
I think the pretzel looks great. The hot dog's a jumbo dog.
I didn't say there was anything wrong with Little League concession food. I'm just telling you that.
Do you think those chicken fingers? I think those might be some of the best chicken fingers I've ever seen at a stadium.
Okay. It still reminds me, the slice of pizza that I'm looking at, the chicken fingers and fries. We used to serve, we've done that. It was like not every day at the Little League that when I was on the board. The nachos definitely look like Little League concession stand nachos. The pretzels we did, same thing. Hot dogs, same thing.
Pizza slice.
It's not a knock. I'm just telling you what it reminded me of.
Pizza slice, $3. Pretzels, $2. I mean, that pretzel for $2. That's like a $12 pretzel here in town at our games.
Right. It's a $2 pretzel and $7 for cheese on the side.
I don't think they charge for the cheese on the side. Now, those nachos.
I bet you they do charge for cheese on the side. Maybe it's 50 cents.
No, that's $7, yeah.
No, maybe 50 cents or whatever, but they definitely charge.
Well, it's so cheap. Buy the nachos with cheese, take the nachos and throw them against the wall and take the cheese if you need your cheese for something else.
Or just ask them to, hey, by the way,
good point. Don't throw it against the wall.
No, give me the nachos, and would you mind drizzling a little on the top? Now you got your nachos with cheese, and then you dip your pretzel in the cheese. Yeah.
Ready? Come on, back pocket. $5. $10. $20. Give them a tip. Give them a tip for the extra cheese, the cheese trick.
So all of a sudden, now you're paying $5 for cheese.
Who cares? The other one's $29.49 for a freaking thing of nachos. I just gave you 7 items for $20, and you're picking it apart.
Not tipping anybody at the concession
stand. Oh, stop. By the way, well, I worked in concessions years ago. So
okay.
30 plus years ago, we did get tips. But I also served like hot scalding soup at Monmouth Park. So, you'd get burnt everyone. It was one of the greatest concerts I've ever seen. We're on the top floor, like the fourth floor. I actually went back a couple years ago. And you're like, my God, this place is old. There's no air conditioning. It'd be like 93 degrees. You're watching horses. And people are like, you know what? Right now, would cool me down, a hot bowl of clam chowder. You're like, all right, sir. Here you go. Thank you for the dollar tip. And by the way, that I guarantee that clam chowder was no more than $4. Back in my day.
Okay, so you're tipping the $20 smorgasbord in Atlanta.
Yes.
You're tipping the $30 nachos? They're putting a lot of stuff. They're taking time to place it.
That is a build. You're right. If I see him building it, I think you got to give him a tip. But now, I mean.
Just saying.
Oh, I got a whole story on this. It's going to have to wait until tomorrow. Such good radio. You're going to have to wait until tomorrow. See ya.
Nice tease.